To Dayton Mennonite Church, we invite you to make your way into the sanctuary if you haven't already, and let's go ahead and stand as we start our service with worship. We'll be singing Worthy is the Lamb.
For this love.
why don't you greet one another beside you? There's one. Start the riff and we'll go. We have His Spirit as we press on.
How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
You may be seated.
Truly, we serve a great and a mighty God. I want to take this opportunity to welcome each one of you here this morning. Have a number of visitors. It's so great to have all of you here with us. And want you to feel welcome, and also want to welcome the people who may be watching online. For a devotional this morning, I would like to read a few verses from Matthew 16. I'll be reading verses 13 through 18. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered him, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Now ask a question. Why did Jesus choose Peter? Peter's a guy kind of reminds me of myself. He was rash, quick to speak sometimes when he would have probably been better off keeping his mouth shut. He was impulsive. You can just go down the list. Through the 3 years that Jesus walked, that Peter walked with Jesus, this was the guy that jumped out of the boat because he wanted to walk on water like Jesus, and quickly took his eyes off of Jesus and began to sink. And, "Lord, save me, help me." In the garden, when Jesus needed him most, Peter fell asleep. He said to Jesus at the Last Supper, "Lord, you will never wash my feet. Never. I'll never, I wouldn't allow you to do that." And Jesus, shortly after that, told Peter, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And again, Peter was like, "I would never do that." Within hours, Peter had denied his Lord three times, and cursed and swore to a harmless little slave girl that he didn't even know Jesus. And finally, as Jesus was being led away to be crucified, what did Peter do? He ran and hid. Again, I ask the question, why Peter? Why did Jesus choose Peter to be the rock on which he would build his church? And I think one of the answers is found in the first line in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, where Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Peter was, he wanted to be like Jesus, but he was living in fear. He feared the cross, and ultimately Peter wanted to follow Jesus, and he wanted to do the things that Jesus did, but he wanted to do it Peter's way. And I think ultimately, he feared the cross. Peter knew that to be sold out for Jesus would cost him everything, probably including his life. After the resurrection, we have the beautiful story of Jesus coming to Peter and restoring him and asking him to feed his sheep. Jesus was kind and merciful. And at that point, Peter was a broken man. He was ready to serve Jesus, whatever the cost. At that point, Peter was ready to serve Jesus. And you know, it's interesting to see that from this guy who was rash, impulsive, kind of a wimp at the end, within only a few weeks, on the day of Pentecost, what happened? Peter was filled with the Spirit. The Bible tells us that he stood up, he preached boldly. His first sermon, 3,000 people responded to the gospel and came to Christ. You know, and he goes on. He preaches fearlessly. He's thrown in prison. He's flogged. And yet, he doesn't falter. And he doesn't look back. You know, friends, we live in a broken world. And the world we live in today needs men and women like Peter, desperately. So I think that, you know, the challenge for each one of us who are believers, we have a choice to make. We can be weak, ineffective, selfish followers of Jesus. We can get by and we can hope we make it into heaven. Or we can become poor in spirit like Peter did and be filled with the Holy Spirit and be effective, be a force for the kingdom. Bring people into the kingdom with us through the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Our offering this morning is for Overcomers Mission Schools. I'll invite the ushers and Joe forwards. Just a quick note for those of you who don't know what Overcomers Mission School is. It's a group of schools in Kenya, Tanzania, and Paraguay that train and send missionaries into Muslim Islamic areas. They are pushing into some really dark and dangerous areas, and just had breakfast with Vaughn and some of his team about a month ago, and they expressed tremendous gratitude for the support they've gotten from this congregation, this community, and just individuals who have been so generous. So thank you from them. Let's pray. God, this morning, we think of those around the world who are sharing the gospel and pushing into places that are dark and dangerous. And yet, we hear so many beautiful stories of people responding to the gospel, of Islamic leaders having dreams and visions of Jesus and coming forwards, giving their lives to Christ, and then going out as missionaries themselves. So God, this morning, we want to lift up Overcomers Mission School, their staff and their directors and the missionaries that are leaving there. We pray, God, for wisdom, blessing, and discernment. We pray for physical and spiritual protection for those who are going out into these dark areas to share the gospel. We thank you now for this offering. We pray you would bless both the gift and the giver. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
In your Zion's praises, please turn to number 36. Number 36, O 4,000 tongues.
No soul.
O Lord, 1,000 tongues to sing my great.
Oh,
Thank you for your offerings. Have several announcements I need to make this morning. I know Garland has an announcement, and if anyone else has an announcement, be prepared here momentarily. So, first off, April 16th and 17th, we'll be having a marriage series that will be put on and coordinated by Journey Counseling Center. It will be three sessions, covenant marriage, sufferings, impact on marriage, and sexuality. And there will be breakout sessions for both men and women. This is for anyone who is married or is contemplating marriage, and we would really encourage you guys to block out this weekend. Journey has been a tremendous resource for us and has blessed us greatly. So I'm looking forward to what what they will have to share with us. Also, child care will be provided generously by the youth group. So don't worry about kids. That will be taken care of. And actually, I think that's going to be done at Blue Ridge Christian School up on the Dayton campus, if I'm not mistaken. As most of you already know, Dale Kaffer is here with us this morning. He'll be bringing the message momentarily, as well as leading the installation of Micah as pastor. And just as a follow-up on the whole process, I'd just like to say that I personally and we as a team are excited about moving forwards with Micah as our leader and what that means for our church, our community, and our team. And as part of that process, we talked about this briefly at the members' meeting, an accountability team has been put in place that's purpose is to identify and report any sin that might disqualify the pastor, any pastor. Would be Micah now, but someone else ever takes his place, it would be another person. Any sin that would disqualify that person from ministry. And obviously the purpose of this is to protect the church from sin. This group is expected to follow the biblical instruction for confronting sin and consists of Mark Weaver, Dale Brubaker, someone from outside of the congregation, and Roland Horst. This committee is specifically for accountability. It's not for people to come and say, I don't like the color shirt Micah wears or whatever. So just keep that in mind. Okay, Garland, you have an announcement?
This is a really good contrast of what we do as a Sunday evening committee, because Buff talked about the marriage event that's we're putting on next month. We try to do a mix of fun stuff and more serious stuff. That event was something that we organized as a Sunday evening committee. I really would like y'all to block that weekend out. Please do not use child care or anything like that as an excuse. We will take care of that for you. Really want couples to be here for that marriage weekend. It's going to be three sessions. This month, though, is a very laid-back one. Next Sunday, we're doing a game night. So a lot of times, the events we plan, we sort of organize things to happen. This Sunday, it's on you to show up with a game. That's pretty much what it is. It's very loose, very informal. We're going to set tables in the basement, and we're going to play games. And there will be a movie for the kids to watch, for the younger kids. So it starts at 5 o'clock next Sunday. We're doing it earlier because next Sunday is the time change. So we wanted you to be able to get your kids home in good time so they get good sleep for the evening for the school the next day. So next Sunday, 5 o'clock, game night in the basement. Finger snacks, too.
Thank you, Garland. Are there any other announcements from the congregation? If not, we will move into a time of prayer. You can look at your bulletin. There's a number of prayer requests on the back of the bulletin each week. Very meaningful and important things that are submitted by our sister Eva Everly, and I won't go into all those, but Two things I wanted to highlight this morning before we move into the message. The first is David Gary. Most of you know that David has been in the hospital for over a week and is now at UVA. Ruth Ann's been sending out emails, but talked to Kathy early this morning. David is stable, and praise God, he's back on the transplant list. Obviously, he's a very sick man, but things are under control. He's in good hands, so let's just pray for not only David, but Kathy and his mom and siblings as they walk this journey with him. Secondly, tonight, Blake Showalter and myself will be going into Rockingham County Jail, share a message of love and hope. So we want to remember that, especially the inmates that have signed up to come to that service. I just, you know, pray that Blake and I can be God's instruments and bring something meaningful that will make a difference in their life. So I invite you to bow your heads as we pray together. God, this morning, it's so good to be in your house, and we just thank you and praise you for your goodness. We thank you for the beauty of this day, the wonderful spring weather we've had, and it just reminds us of the last praise song we sang together, how great thou art. And we can say that with a hearty amen this morning, God, how great you truly are. God, I just want to lift up David this morning and his hour of need. I thank you so much for David's life and his testimony of your goodness and the way you have changed him and the way you have saved him. And I just pray now, God, that you would indeed be merciful to David. I pray that he would experience your loving presence, your healing. I pray against any spirit of fear that might creep in his heart, but that he would just know, regardless of what happens, that you are walking with him through this valley. I pray for the doctors and nurses who are caring for him. God, give them wisdom, guidance, and compassion. I pray for David's family, God, that just lift them up to your throne of grace as they walk with him. Again, I just pray that they would know your love and your presence, and that they would know that you are with them every step of this journey. Lord, we want to remember other people in our congregation who are dealing with serious health issues. Specifically want to think of Pedro and Brent Nicely this morning. God, may they also experience your presence and your healing in their lives. And God, we thank you for where you have brought healing. I think of Jeremy Zimmerman, who I saw back here this morning, for so many others, God, for Rebecca Shank, who you have restored and brought healing to her life. And I just thank you, God, for these individuals and the miracle that you've done in their lives. And God, we know that you can do this in David's life as well, and we pray for that this morning. Thank you, God, for this morning, for this service. And I just pray, God, your special blessing and anointing on Micah and Krista as they take on this new role. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, Joe will lead us in several hymns now.
Again, in your Zion's praises, please turn to number 562. Number 562, Each Step I Take.
No soul.
Step by step, my Savior goes before me.
Thank you.
Then turn to number 573. Number 573. No.
It's my privilege this morning to introduce our speaker. Dale, come on up. Dale Keffer, our overseer, who I'm sure most of you know and have known for a long time. And it's just been such a blessing to me in the last 10 years to really learn to know Dale on a personal level. He's been a mentor and an inspiration to me. And if you follow Dale and Shirley on Facebook, they don't stay in one place very long. Sometimes I get tired just reading about where all they've been in a week. Dale, it's good to have you here. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you this morning for my brother Dale and Sister Shirley and the tireless work they put in to serving the church and your kingdom. And I just pray, God, that you would continue to bless them with good health and the ability to travel and minister. I pray now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come and fill Dale, I just give him the words to speak, and I pray that we could be attentive as listeners and take to heart the message you have for us this morning. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Buff. Good morning, everyone. Good to have you in the service again this morning. I appreciate your presence. Buff, since you said what you said, I'll give you a preview. Next Sunday morning, we expect to be, the Lord willing, we expect to be in Kansas, Hutchinson, Kansas, and Sunday night in Lincoln, Nebraska, and after that on the way back home. You want to go along? It'll be a wonderful time. Good to have all of you here this morning. When I look back over all the years that I've been serving here at Dayton with you folks, it's been a wonderful time and a good privilege for me. I really feel blessed and honored to be able to do that. And of all the meetings we've had in the past and all the different things that have transpired, I don't know of anything it quite compares with this morning. This morning is a very important time. I'm not sure I can come up with the right adjectives to really give it the kind of emphasis that it deserves to have. But the congregation has been, I think that my time is right about this, I think the congregation has been without a senior pastor for about 7 years now. And there may well have been some folks who thought we'd never get to where we are this morning and be able to name someone else as the new senior pastor. But by God's grace and by God's guidance, by here we are this morning, and I really appreciate that. Now, let me just tell you this, too. The way that I judge, you shouldn't judge sermons, but I do, I'm sorry. When I hear a preacher preach, I decide in my heart, did he know what he was talking about, and did he really say anything worth hearing? That's terrible. But that's sort of the way it is. But two different criteria that I would use, and one of them is how long did it take him to get to the scripture itself, and how much scripture was there? How much biblical content did he have? But then there are times when there are services where that kind of a critique needs to be set aside. And so by your leave, this morning we're going to have to set that aside a little bit, because there'll be a few stories to go along with everything else that we're talking about here this morning, because I think it's necessary in order to be able to get some of my points across. I'm going to be speaking this morning on a title. I've entitled what I'm talking about today this way. I've entitled it, Following God's Direction with Confidence. How do you know for sure that what you've decided that God wants in your life and in your organization, all of that, how do you know for sure that that's exactly what God wants? Probably one of the things that churches have been relying on much too heavily, you can criticize me if you want to on this one, but would be that when certain matters come up that are of great importance, then there are those churches that use what we call casting of lots or choosing by lot or something like that. I don't want to be really, really critical about that, but I must tell you folks that I do strongly disagree with that, because I believe that it's a bit of a way of avoiding personal responsibility for hearing from God. God spoke in many different ways during the time that earth has been in existence. And in the days that we're living in, I really believe that people of God ought to be able to come together and discern amongst themselves what God is saying, as opposed to using some kind of a discernment by the use of lot. In fact, when you look in the scriptures, you will discover that the last time, at least the last time I've been able to find in the scriptures, that you have the lot being used is when they put in Matthias to take the place of Judas. And that would have been prior to the giving of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. That would have been Acts chapter 1. And in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came. And so things changed at that point. The Bible clearly says that God, Hebrews chapter 1 says it like this, I think it's verse 1 and 2, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spoken to us in times past by the prophets, hath in these latter days spoken unto us by his Son. And so things are different than what they had been. But again, in many different circles, they still use the lot, and if they can make that work, okay, but I really believe there's a better way of doing things. I'll give you a story of what I'm talking about. There was a congregation that I was the overseer of some years ago, and we came to a time just like this when we were going to be installing someone as a pastor. And we had the name already, and we were asking for the affirmation of the congregation to be able to move forward with the ordination, licensing, and then later the ordination as well. And the pastor contacted me, and he said, you know, Dale, there's another young man in this congregation that feels like he has a call to the ministry. Part of me really wanted to know who it was, and the other part of me did not want to know who it was, because I didn't want to become prejudiced or biased in any way concerning what was happening. And so I didn't ask, and he didn't offer. But when the Sunday morning came, that he and I stood in the little council room, you know, they had a door coming in here, and we stood here, and another door going out, so they'd come right through, and they'd cast their vote. That Sunday morning, as they were moving through, there was a young man that came through and cast his voice and moved on out. And when he walked away, I turned to the pastor and I said, that's him, isn't it? He said, yeah, that's him. It was written all over him. I know what that feels like. The Lord gave me a call to the ministry many, many years ago. And I know what that feels like, and I can see it in other people when it happens to them. Probably one of the most miserable times in my life was when I had to come into the council room in our congregation when we were choosing a pastor, come into the council room, and those fellows said, do you have a name? And I came from the age when you didn't dare say that God has called me to be a minister, because if you did, you were done right there. That was it. Obviously, he's too proud to be anything. And so, you know, somehow or other, I stumbled up with a couple of names and gave them to them. Lied right there in the chamber. That's what happened. I knew who it was going to be, but you didn't dare say so. How can that call be that strong? Well, this young man who had that call that I'm talking about, and he was so strong, and I've seen it in other men as well, I already knew. On another occasion, in fact, this fellow's on the executive board of our conference now. But when the voice was taken in that congregation and he came through, I knew right away, this is the man. It's not because I'm some supernatural person myself or that I have some of these extrasensory perceptions about people. It's not that. It's when the call of the Lord has been resting on someone, it shows up. It's evident. It's there. There's no question about it. It's that powerful. But this young man who had that powerful call of God on his life came from a different church background, and he didn't feel comfortable for the longest time accepting that without the use of a lot. So what does the lot do? In my mind, the lot removes personal responsibility, and then whatever happens, we can say, it's God's fault. God did that. We left it up to him, and God did that. In the words of Andrew Jancy, an evangelist from many, many years ago that I still quote today, some churches, when they go through that process, will get just exactly what they deserve. That's what Andrew said, not me. There have actually been pastors put in place who couldn't even read. They may have been the most spiritual people in the world, but if you can't read, you have problems. How are you ever going to be able to serve as a pastor if you don't even have a basic skill of reading? But that has happened. There have been pastors who have been put in place already by the use of the lot and only had 15% of congregational support. There's something wrong with that. Brother Mark Yoder is sitting here this morning. Most of you know this guy. He's my buddy. I gladly claim him. He was my overseer for a number of years there at home. He can vouch for what I'm telling you. But when I became old and well advanced in years, and it became obvious that it was time for somebody else to take my place there, I thought I had a perfect plan all worked out. We're going to name someone else. We're going to put somebody else in office. And then they're going to serve for a little while, you know, and then we're going to choose between the two of them to take my place, and I'll continue to serve for five more years on the team with them. Oh, I had it all worked out. It was so nice and beautiful. And Brother Mark came down and interviewed the congregation, came back and said, Dale, that's not what they want. They don't want you to quit. They want you to keep on preaching. Leave it just like it is. And so I agreed. For either two or three years, I've forgotten now which it was, but two or three. At the end of that period of time, he came back. Him and his helper came back, interviewed the congregation again. And this time when they walked through the council room, he told them asking Dale to stay is not an option. That's not an option. And in spite of him having said that, very plainly, he came back to our house after it was over and he said, Dale, you got a choice. Either you can keep on preaching or it's going to have to go to the lot. You know how much I dislike the lot? I said, I'll keep on preaching. I really felt that we as a congregation needed to be able to hear from God. We needed to be able to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us, giving us firm, true direction, not just the use of some, well, you got it, some other means. Have you ever wished that God would be more clear? Sure. But if God was very, very clear on everything, I mean, if every time a question came up in church, should we do this or should we do that, God would put in a personal appearance and settle the question. Where does walking by faith come in? The scriptures say that the just shall walk by faith. So how are you walking by faith if God has to put in a personal appearance with every question that comes up? Faith would be non-existent. So sure, I've wished already that God would be more clear on some things. There's some questions I wish I could ask him and he could give me an answer. I mean, after all, when you consider the different ways that God has communicated with men, there was a time when God did indeed show up in person and he would answer anything these folks had to say. Let's divide what I'm going to be saying here this morning. Let's divide it up into three different areas. First of all, let's talk a little bit about God's early communication. Secondly, I want to talk a bit about God's pre-resurrection communication. You could say pre-spirit-given communication. And then the third would be God's post-resurrection communication, or call it the giving of the Spirit in Acts chapter 2. But in the very early communications of God with man, you need to go back to the Garden of Eden. And you will discover that in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, it says very clearly that Adam and Eve, they had done what they did. They had sinned and they knew they were wrong. And then the Bible says that they heard the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And when you read the narrative that happens there in Genesis chapter 3, you very readily understand that God spoke and they heard him. God was audible. He talked. They heard. And they had a direct communication with God. That happened. But then his personal appearances didn't seem to keep on going like that. But indeed, he did audibly talk to Adam. He audibly talked to Moses. He audibly talked to the prophets. And we even read the story of a little boy who had been given to serve in the temple. His name was Samuel. And on his bed one night, he heard God audibly speak to him. So God did audibly speak on different occasions in the scriptures. But moving on then into a bit later, we're still in the Old Testament time period here. But how did God continue to speak to men? And this is very relevant to what we're talking about here today. How do we know? How do we know that we have charted the course for the congregation in accordance with what God really wants for Dayton Mennonite? How do you really know that? Micah and Krista, how do they really know that that's what God wants for them and for their children? Because children are involved in it too. How do we know that? Believe me, folks, being a minister is not what some folks think it is. Brother, this is a serious undertaking, and I know that you know that. You're not exactly new on the block here. You've been doing some preaching and leading. I've said many times that if God would have left me alone, my life would have been so much simpler. And it would have been. It would have also been about that big. It wouldn't have amounted to anything. I would never have known you. I would never have known lots of people. And believe me, we wouldn't be going everywhere. That wouldn't have been happening. But I'll tell you something. We had a fellow, a young man in our conference, who spoke one night at one of our conference meetings, and I'll never forget part of what he had to say. Most of it I've forgotten, but I heard him say this. He said, "I quit every Sunday night." He had a lady in his congregation that took him to task every Sunday night. He said, "I quit every Sunday night." The sad truth is he did eventually quit, left his wife and married somebody else and everything. It was a terrible, terrible story. But every minister who has ever preached for any amount of time, at some point, has wanted to get on his horse and ride off into the sunset. If you're a minister sitting here this morning and you say, "I don't know what you're talking about," keep preaching. Keep preaching. It'll happen. There have been times when I wanted so bad just to leave, just to run. There have been times when I wondered what God thought he was doing when he chose me, a nobody, to fill the pulpit and do other things in his kingdom. Why didn't I go? Why didn't I run away? Believe me, I wanted to. Why not? Because Micah, I've never been able to figure out what I'm going to tell him on Judgment Day if I did. I know God called me. I heard that call. Not audibly. But I'll tell you what happened. I had a cousin, a first cousin, who worked with me sometimes. And he had a regular job, and sometimes when I worked at night, he'd work with me. We were doing some work at night. My wife came and brought us supper, and we sat together in the cloakroom of the school we were working on. And we had these discussions about the scriptures, and he started talking about dying and going home. He said, "If the Lord wants me, I'm ready to go now." And I said, "I'm ready to go, but I got a wife and two little girls, and I'd appreciate living a while down here yet." He said, "I don't have that. I'd be ready to go right now." 2 weeks later, he came in contact with 2,200 volts, and he was gone, just like that. At the funeral, it was one of the saddest funerals I've ever been to. Most of the time, preachers can hold it together when they're preaching funerals. And Brother Phil, some of you may remember Phil Miller in the Virginia Conference. He took Jerry's Bible, and he preached from Jerry's Bible, all the things he had written down, underlined, and all of that. And he cried, and we cried. It was the saddest funeral I'd ever seen. Never been to one that sad before or since. At that time, our congregation was looking for a pastor. And when we went to the meal, you always have to have a meal for everything. So we went to the meal, and the Lord had Phil sit right beside me, and I knew him. He was my neighbor, next house back the road. And I remember so clearly looking at Phil and saying to him, "Brother Phil, how in the world can you preachers preach a funeral sermon?" And he looked at me and he said, "Dale, we can't, but God can." It may as well have been God sitting in that chair telling me, "Dale, you will be the preacher." That's been almost, well, it's been almost 50 years ago now. And the Lord has taken me near and far in doing his work. But how do I know? I know because I heard God speak. Brother Micah, you know because you've heard God speak. This congregation has come together within given parameters of how we're going to do this, how this is going to be, this choice is going to be made. And within those parameters of percentages and everything else that we talked about, we asked God to speak, and God did speak. And that's why we're here this morning. But in God's, I've gotten off track just a little bit, but I just wanted you to know how powerful that actually is when God speaks. We have no choice but to listen. Have you noticed already that when God called in the Old Testament times, that when God called Jonah, told him, "I want you to go to Nineveh," have you noticed when you read through the scriptures of how unescapable that call was? Did you see that? He decided. Cities in the world. They had a reputation of skinning people alive they didn't like. There's no wonder he decided he'll go down to Joppa and get on a ship and go somewhere else. He wasn't so much fleeing what God wanted him to do as he was fleeing God himself. You see, in those days they believed in territorial gods. They believed in the God of Israel, the God of Moab, the God of Ammon, and all of that. All he wanted to do was get out of God's territory, and then he'd be free from what God wanted him to do. And if we learn anything from the book of Jonah, we learn that God is universal. He is everywhere. And when God gives a call, you can't escape even if you go to outer space. Jonah couldn't escape. He couldn't do it. There's another one, too, that God put Esther into the king's palace at such a time as to save the Jewish people in that day. You remember that story? And there she was. And when the decree went out that on a given day, people could go out and hunt the Jewish people and kill them, it'd be just great. And Mordecai showed up at the palace in his array, unusual, sackcloth and ashes, and crying with these ashes running down his face. And word got into Esther, and he told her what he sent word in is what was going on. And he said, "It's time for you to go in front of the king. It's time for you to tell the king who you are and plead our case." She said, "I can't do that. I can't do that." You know what he told her? I know you know. He said, "If you don't go, deliverance will come to the Jews from some other place. God will deliver the Jews." What he's saying was, God will have his way. The question is not whether he will or not. The question is whether we want to be involved or not. That's the question. If the congregation had voted and Micah said, "No, I can't do that," deliverance would come from somewhere else. But with that call, you can't. It's inescapable. You cannot walk away from it. Esther couldn't walk away from it. Jonah couldn't walk away from it. I haven't been able to walk away from it and don't want to. So let's go back to what I haven't gotten to yet. God's pre-resurrection communication. How did he do that? Well, he spoke to the prophets through oral testimony. As we've said, prior to that, he had also come and spoke himself. He also spoke to the prophets through oral testimony. He spoke through his word as given to Moses, and he still does that today. How do you know what you know about God? How do you know about God calling these people and putting calls in their lives? How do you know that? It's because you own a Bible.
It's because you know how to read and you've attended services, you've been to school. You know what God is like because you have a Bible and you've heard the stories. Can you pardon just a little carnal explanation here? I've served on all kinds of boards already. I'm not bragging, I'm just saying. Every board meeting, it only takes about one until they get the hang of what's going on. And when Dale comes in, everybody wants to know, is there Diet Coke here? Because they know that's what Dale wants. How do they know that? Because they know me. Because they've spent time with me. How do I know what God is like? I've spent time with God. I've read the stories about how God interacted with human beings from the time that world began. That's how I know what God is like. So God has spoken not only to the prophets, but it was written down, and today I know about God because I can read what God had to say. I see him interacting with people. I see him giving people calls. I see him calling them into different places of service. Yeah. There was a time when God even spoke through a donkey. I'll leave that one where it is. So now let me move on to where we really are today. All of that's history. But what about today? And God's post-resurrection communication. What does God expect of us? Well, let me just tell you, first of all, that we're living in a different age than what they were back there. You know that, but what's different about it? When you look up the experience that happened, I'll not turn to it and read it for the sake of time, but you can find it in three different places on the Mount of Transfiguration. Matthew 17, Mark 9, and Luke 9. That's the story of the Mount of Transfiguration. One of those familiar stories where Jesus went up onto the mountain and was transfigured, meaning that his body, everything about him just shone like the sun. And with him, he had his disciples, three of them, Peter, James, and John. And also, there appeared on that mountain Moses and Elijah. Now, what were they there for? One of the scriptures says they discussed his death that he would accomplish. That's the way King James says it. Never heard of anybody accomplishing death. But they spoke of his death that he would accomplish. You know what was really going on? There was a legal transaction taking place up there. You'll find it referred to in Romans chapter 8 and verse 3, where it talks about, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his son. I'll tell you what was happening up there. The law was there in the form of Moses. The prophets were there in the form of Elijah. And the prophets and the law were there to give up to the Christ that which they could not perform. And that's why the book of Hebrews says in chapter 1, God who in sundry times and divers manners spoke unto us in times past by the prophets, hath in these latter days spoken unto us by his Son. His Son is different now. It's different. God also speaks now through the Holy Spirit. God has turned the Holy Spirit loose on the earth. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. I don't know what your class talked about. We had a wonderful discussion in ours. if you're not happy in the one you're in, come to the one I was in. It was really great. But we talked about the role of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, how he came and he went and he came and he went. And the role of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament now, he is an abiding presence. He's somebody we have all the time. He doesn't just come from out of nowhere. He's here. And so he speaks by the Holy Spirit. It says in John chapter 14 and verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. When you read through some of the things that happened in the book of the Acts, we find the Holy Spirit present in the early church In Acts chapter 9, we have this wonderful conversion of Saul. He became Paul. In Acts chapter 13, we have him gathered together with the people in the church. And it says that it seemed good to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul. How did that happen? How did that happen? It doesn't say, let's put all the names in a hat and draw one out. And we're going to trust God to get the right one. It doesn't say that. What it does say is that when the church gathered together and they sought the face of the Lord, God answered and he said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul to the work whereunto I have called them. When you read about the Jerusalem Council, when there was a question about what should be allowed among the Gentile converts, should they have to be circumcised or not? Should they be brought under the law is a better way of saying it. Paul rebelled against that idea, so much so that he took his complaints to the city of Jerusalem, into the council that was headed up by the very brother of Jesus himself, half-brother, James, known to be a man of the law. And there he presented his case. And in the council of the brotherhood, the Bible does not say that they took the question of Paul and the defense of the law and decided to draw straws. It's not what it says. What it says is that when everything had been presented, it winds up by saying it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. We live in a day when we can rely on the Spirit leading us. It's not just some fly-by-night thing that happens or doesn't happen. It's real. The Holy Spirit will indeed give you direction. I am not the most charismatic person in the world. I'm not. I'll admit that. I get uncomfortable around people that are too charismatic. I'm sorry, but I do. In my charisma or in my charismatic experiences, I got to keep at least 1 foot on the ground. I just can't do some of that. It's not the way God made me. However, I do know that God leads by the direction of His Holy Spirit. I also know that when God's people come together and they seek God's face, we can come out of our own circles today with the same testimony the early church did. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Folks, I believe that God would have us to step out in faith and to follow His direction with confidence as opposed to the idea, well, we just really don't know. Listen, let me say it again. When God's people gather themselves together and they together as a unit present their case before the Lord, and we have parameters that we're dealing with, and God answers that, we can confidently accept His answer as being from God Himself, just as much as if He would have stood in front of us and said it audibly. The Holy Spirit lives within us, and I believe He speaks through us. And therefore, we have come to where we are today because in these latter days, God has spoken to us by His Son, and His Son has sent the Comforter who will teach us all things. That's the order. I read it to you this morning. That's the order. And so as tough as it may be, as hard as it may be to step out in faith, that's what God wants us to do. I want you to think for a minute about, I won't turn there, but there is a scripture reference you'll find back in the book of Exodus, actually. And it has to do with when the children of Israel have already left the land of Israel, but they haven't gotten across the Dead Sea yet. They're out there with Pharaoh's armies behind them and the Dead Sea in front of them. They're between a rock and a hard place, actually between Pharaoh and the water. God called on them there to move forward. As hopeless as it might have looked to Moses and the people of his day, God called on them to move forward. And if I could paraphrase what he said to them, it was like this: fear not to serve the Lord. I would leave that with you here this morning. Fear not to serve the Lord. I believe with all of my heart that God has heard our question and God has provided our answer. It says here, in regards to the scripture in the reference that I talked about in Exodus, I want to read it for you. Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. I believe God. I believe I'm looking at God's people. I believe God's people have counseled with God, and that God has heard and given a clear answer. Heavenly Father, bless this congregation. I pray, Lord God, that somehow these few feeble words would have been blessed by you from the time they left my mouth till the time they reached the ears of those that heard. You would have added your blessing, and this makes sense. And that this has brought us a more clear understanding of how you deal with your people today. So, Lord, we're leaving it now up to you. Because we believe we've heard, we're asking for the faith to continue on in the direction you want us to go. And we pray it in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We come now to the part of the service that the church, having given its voice, Micah and Krista having consented to that, of the time of the installation of a new senior pastor for the Dayton Mennonite Church. We have a little ceremony that we have if we want to go through. And when that's done, we'd like to ask the Board of Elders, if you would at least, to come forward while they have a prayer of dedication. And to be clear, this is a one-year term to begin with, and that's what we're covering here today. But before we do that, Michael, why don't you and Krista come forward? Michael would like to speak just a little bit, and that's wonderful. So come.
Come on up. Thank you, Dale, for the message. It was very applicable to what I've been wrestling with and feeling for a season of time. You know, you talked about going through the different stages of running away, and I thought Joe's song, it was, I feel like running home, or I feel like running on, or something like that. Traveling, I feel like traveling on. There's definitely been those moments through this season of, I feel like just running out the back doors, never coming back here again. But I do feel, I do believe, I shouldn't say a feeling, I do believe that God has called me to lead this church, and I accept his calling to do that here this morning. We as a team just want to recognize that some of you are very excited about this transition and that it is a time of blessing and excitement for you. But we also recognize that there are those here this morning that it's a difficult time. It's a time of change. It's a time of difference of opinions and things like that. And we just want you to know that we love you. We care for you. It doesn't change our opinions of you. We want to walk with you. We want to hear you. And desire to pastor you and elder you and deacon you is as best as God gives us the ability to do so. When I was in the youth group, I think Steve and Kathy were my youth leaders at this point. I remember for the Bible study or whatever, we were each going to share our favorite verse of the Bible. And at that point, I wasn't really into reading the Bible that much, and so I didn't really know. And so very coyly, I asked my mom what her favorite passage in the Bible was. And she said it in a way that I accepted it onto myself. And it was Philippians 1:6. And it says, he who has begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that is what I rest in this morning, is that if you are counting on me to do a perfect job, if you're counting on me to lead this church well, in my own flesh, my own spirit, my own attitudes, I'm going to fail miserably. But God, being confident in this, that God is able to complete the work that he has begun in me, he is able to complete the work that he has begun in each of you here this morning. And he is working here this morning. There are lives being changed in this church, and he is able and just to complete that work until the day he comes. So I just want to bless you guys. And I'm still just Micah and a farmer and a very flawed individual, but he who is able will complete the work that he's begun in each of us.
Am I back on? Well, here, I can use this. It's okay. This is fine. Oh, it's not okay. Okay. Okay, I saw you. Yeah, there you are. One of the things I should have said is, when I was ordained at home, there were two of us that were ordained the same night. And there were people who came later and they said, so who's the senior pastor? And we said, well, nobody. And they would say, well, that's not going to work. And we would say, well, sure it will. Why wouldn't it? We didn't know how dumb we were. It didn't work. In every organization, there has to be somebody at the top. I don't mean by that that they're lording it over everything, but somebody, for example, if it's nothing any more than who does Rosedale call when they want to send a team in here or something, who do they call? Up until now, maybe, I don't know. After this, you will know. It's that kind of a thing. So it's not like Mike is way up there. He's pretty tall, but it's not that. It's just that somebody needs to be in charge. And that's what this is all about. Can I tell a personal story about you? Sure. I will never forget this. Micah showed his true colors to me. You can disagree with this one, but a number of years ago, Micah and Krista went to Israel with us. On the very last day of our tour, we were walking in the old city of Jerusalem. And one of the tour members, an older lady, not elderly, but older, wasn't watching where she was going. And there was a stone that they used to sit on. That thing was probably 2 feet square and maybe 8 feet long. She walked right into the end of that thing and immediately flopped down, face down, onto that thing, and her front teeth didn't survive. Very last day. She had insurance that she had bought for the trip, and don't you know, because we had to leave to go home the next day, there wasn't time to fix her teeth in Israel, and when she got home, the insurance wouldn't pay for it. Had to be done there. That's not good. But here's what I want to tell you. Out of everybody on the tour, there was one who walked up to me, handed me a fistful of bills. He said, Dale, give that to her, and don't tell her where it came from. That's the pastor that you're getting ready to install. And speaks volumes. So, we have some questions here for you, Micah. Let me just read them for you, all right? It has pleased God through the leading of His Holy Spirit through the church to call Micah Hebel to serve as the senior pastor of the Dayton Mennonite Church. This means he will serve as a leader and participant in the pastoral ministries of the church. He shall preach the word, do the work of an evangelist, and provide leadership in shepherding the flock. Brother Micah, do you believe that God has called you through the church to serve as senior pastor of this congregation? Are you willing to accept this assignment and to serve by God's grace according to the scriptures, faithful to the congregation and the Conservative Mennonite Conference, which is now Rosedale something?
I do.
All right. Sister Krista, do you believe that God has called your husband through the church to serve as senior pastor of this congregation, and are you willing to support him in that call and work? And to the congregation, as a congregation, you have called Brother Micah to serve as your senior pastor. Are you willing to support him in prayer, to be open to receive and give counsel and walk together in brotherly love in behalf of the church and for God's glory? And if you are, you may express your affirmative response by standing to your feet. And may God bless you for that. You may be seated. Brother Micah, in recognition of the congregation's call to you and your acceptance of the call, we hereby charge you with the responsibilities of senior pastor of Dayton Mennonite Church. May the Lord grant you grace, wisdom, and love to faithfully discharge your responsibilities and to serve effectively for the welfare of the congregation. I'd like to have the leadership team, elders, whoever all that is, would you please come forward and surround us up here? We want to have a prayer of dedication. And the children, yes, thank you. Thank you. Children, come. Believe me, you're in this whether you want to be or not. All right, brothers, as many of you can, if you could lay hands here on him. And the ladies, can you get up close to Krista? Yes. Heavenly Father, we give you praise for what you've done. In the words of Alexander Graham Bell, what hath God brought? You've brought a good thing. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for leading this congregation through all the processes over the last number of years to bring us to this place with full confidence that we have heard what you have to say. And we believe, Lord, that we stand in the middle of what you want right here this morning. Would you bless Micah and Krista as they take on this new responsibility? Heavenly Father, would you bless this congregation as they surround them, care for them, encourage them, and lift them up? I pray, Lord God, that your will would be accomplished. Your church would grow. Heaven would be different just because of this morning. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And to the congregation, we're down to the end. That's it. They will be up here at the front. Don't go away. They will be right up here at the front if you'd like to come and wish them well, the Lord's blessings, whatever it is you have to say. Please come. Please show some support. I'm reminded of what happened when Saul was put in as the king. You're not a king. But when Saul was put in as the king, the Bible says that Samuel sent everybody home. But there was a band of men whose hearts God had touched that went with Saul. Be a part of that band of men and women who go with them for the journey. God bless you, and you are dismissed.